Hunting boots are a critical component of any successful hunt. Whether walking a short distance to your blind or trudging miles through rugged terrain, your feet are carrying the load. Without the right boots, you could give up early and lose out on that trophy just over the ridge. At Midway USA, we make selecting boots for your next hunt easier. With just a few clicks of a mouse, you can decide on what's important, like waterproofing, insulation, size, width, and savings. For just about everything for shooting, hunting, and the outdoors, check out MidwayUSA.com.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
All right. Hey, what is up, everybody? Welcome back. Got another edition of the Chasing the Tide Saltwater segment here on the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. I'm your host, Dustin. Y'all should know me. If you don't, now you do. It's Dustin here out of Texas. You know, things been kind of weird the last few weeks. We've had a bunch of rain. We had some tremendous rainfall, kind of affected some of our little backwater areas and stuff. So I have to adjust for some fish lately and just been setting up on some grass flats with some sand pockets and crushing some reds on burning spoons and curly tail grubs. Grande actually makes a really good one that like suspends really well with a belly weighted hook. So, you know, that's what's been going on the past few weeks. Had a tournament a couple weeks back. Me and my teammate Mike did pretty good. Had a third place finish in that saltwater angler and the professional redfish league. Had a good little deal going with that. So we were lucky to find fish and then turn in five decent fish over 2 days and hooked up with that. But enough of that. We're going to get on with the show tonight. Got a special guest tonight from Mississippi, the MISSISS, a humpback I state. Matt Mitchell, I'm going to bring him on right now. We're going to say hello, get a little introduction. There he is. What's going on, my man?
On, bud.
Oh,
how
yeah.
You doing?
Oh, yeah.
How you doing? How you doing?
We doing it. Yeah, man. Oh, so how's it going? My earphones just popped out. I'm about to make an adjustment here.
All right.
Here. I got a little excited and knocked the cord out there. All right. Well, normally we kick off this segment here. We want to ask a little bit about yourself. Give us a little backstory. Introduction, introduce yourself to everybody and then tell everybody, you know, where you're from, what got you Mississippi kind of that way, and then where that fishing came in, kind of started moving that way.
Yeah, man. So I'm from South Carolina originally, born and raised, and I migrated here. I think it was 2010, the end of 2010 after I graduated. I never really traveled much. So I only knew freshwater fishing, you know, fishing from the bank, fishing for blue catfish, fishing for stripers, you know. But I ended up visiting a family member down here in Mississippi, and I just didn't know that the fishery down here was, you know, was this good. So when I got down here, I was like, okay, well, where can I go fishing? That's my thing. Let's go fishing. Let's go. Right? Ended up taking me out to the front. And I mean, man, I was like, okay, I'm not leaving. I'm staying. I love it.
Yep.
I said, I just can't go back, man. I fell in love with it, man.
So you were fishing at a younger age in South Carolina, just like from the bank, just go out there.
Oh yeah,
and, you know, like, catch some blue cats, catch some bluegills, some crappie and stuff.
Oh dude, I would literally get off the bus and get dropped off at one of my friend's house, close to the closest bridge, and have a fold up rod in my bag with a couple of worms that I dug like 2 or 3 days ago.
Oh yeah.
I would be fishing from the bridge, you know, from the little bridge right there. Just catching small little freaking little brim.
Little perch and brim.
Yeah, yep. Brim, mm-hmm. All that just from a little bridge. And then I would take them. And if, you know, we were going fishing that weekend, you know, I would probably freeze them, you know, try to use them for catfish bait and stuff like that. But I started off real young, man. Since I can remember, I mean, I've been fishing. And I was caught. I was kind of caught between fishing and hunting for a while because my dad, he hunted a lot also with fishing.
Yeah.
So it was kind of split between the both of those. But as I got older, man, I just knew my passion was fishing, man. It was just like, wasn't nothing like it, you know? It was just nothing like it.
That's the truth, for real.
I'm telling you, man. That funk, there's nothing that I can't other a better feeling like being out there than that, you know. I know hunting to some people is the same way, but for fishing, it's different for me.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, just like you said, that thump, especially when you start progressing and moving from bait, maybe dead bait, live bait, and then moving into artificials, and then like you said,
right,
when you get to feel that fish hit that lure. And you're tricking it with something that's not real. That's when it's like, oh man, this is awesome.
That's when you know, yes, sir.
You know, it's on. Because when I was young, it was the same way. I would go dig up worms in my friend's grandma's garden.
Oh yeah.
And we go to this kind of, it was like a land, it was like a pond, like a canal around this house and this land, but it had like influx from some salt water, some brackish water creeks. And we were catching perch and all that stuff in there one day. And then all of a sudden we like, man, I was like, man, what do I got? And I caught a redfish on a live worm.
Man.
On a night crawler. And a ladyfish too. And we had caught redfish for the whole time in that little summer on live worms.
Live worms. Man, that's
it was crazy. That was like the dangest thing because you know they'll hit anything. And I've caught them on all kind of bass lures anyway. So you know, it's like it didn't surprise me now, but back then it was like it really surprised me. Man, I didn't know what I had. It wasn't a real big one, but you know, when you had a Zebco 202 or a 33 back in the day with a little old clip-on red and white bobber
and
a couple split shots and a little gold Aberdeen hook, and you like put that worm on there and you was all excited. You was catching a little perch and stuff. And then that redfish jumped on there. You're like, oh, man.
What? It's like,
I know. What happened?
Like, what just happened? And then that's when the addiction starts, man. That's when it's like, man. I can do this. This can happen. I can catch this fish. I can catch different fish on stuff like this. Man.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And you'd be out and you'd be all excited catching fish. And the next thing you know, it's getting dark and you're like, man, I got to hurry up and get my rear end home. And he said, you better get home before that light comes on. And if I was at my grandma's, she was Josephine, her, we called her JoJo. This is my JoJo. She's like, who? Dustin, you better go. You're going to go get your own switch. I'm going to get that. I'm going to wear that booty out. About to get home before dark, I was going to get that switch, boy.
I know what you're talking about.
Or the fly swatter or the wooden spoon or whatever.
Whatever. Whatever was around. Whatever.
My granddad would be laughing. He was a fire chief in town, you know, and he, you know, as I got older, I would fish with him and my uncles and my dad and everybody. But it was the same, you know, he'd be giggling back in there. That boy, all he would do is fish. That's how it was, man. Just I was all up in it, too.
That's the good part about it. Because my parents, like, he knew that I was just, when I was leaving, like, when I got on my bike and I had my rod, he just knew. I was going to fish and he just asked, hey, which bridge you going to? And I'll just pick you up later on. It's like, okay, all right.
Yep.
And then some days I just been like, okay, well, I ain't catching nothing. I'm going to stay down here a little bit longer. You know, ended up staying out there till freaking it got dark. You know, cars are passing by. People are asking me. Everybody was friendly out there.
You okay? Yeah.
You back okay?
That's them southern small towns. It's like, you know, everybody. That's how I was too, where I live.
Yep. What you catching? Sure you catch enough. Anything?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
Throw that bite. Yeah. And everybody knew because my granddad, everybody said, Yeah, Chief Nichols' grandson. That got me in the door to a lot of like farm ponds and like,
oh yeah,
like the college had a lake that you weren't supposed to fish in, and them security guards would come out there, and I said, hey, no, I said, I'm not gonna keep anything, and I won't leave no trash. I said, I'm Chief Nichols' grandson. Y'all can call him. Oh, you Chief Nichols' grandson? Okay, yeah. Just don't tell nobody. I let you stay. If my boss come over here, you better act like nobody said nothing.
Right. Just act like you.
I got away with so much when I was younger, like that. You know, oh, man. Or go because awesome. Like now you couldn't do that. You couldn't go knock on somebody's door. Hey, is it okay if I have permission to go fish in your pond in the back in y'all's land? Like a lot of that wouldn't happen now. And then back then, that was in the 80s. I'm talking my age right now. So, all right, man, we go. That was pretty cool. Kind of reminiscing about that, you know.
Man, that's awesome, dude. Stuff,
some good times.
Yeah, man, it is awesome.
So, you know, now you're in Mississippi and everything. You moved from South Carolina pretty much right out of high school.
Pretty much right out of high school, man. There was a time that I went back. I did go back to South Carolina for about 6 months. I was like 6 months to a year. It was just a back and forth thing. Most of the time I was in South Carolina, but
yeah,
that was me just missing home, feeling homesick. Yep. You know, I got to that point where I was like, you know, I miss my family. I want to go back. You know, I want to be around them. Yep. But you know, when I got back, everybody's been growing up. Everybody's moving off. Everybody's leaving. Everybody's going to college. Everybody's doing it. You know, so I was like, you know what? I got a life, you know, and that's what I want to do. So I got to live. And,
yep.
Man.
You went and jumped on it. So then now Mississippi, what area, what waters do you consider your local stuff? And then, you know, give us some insight on the fish you target and then some of the tactics you're using over there, you know, let everybody know about that.
All right. So there's, I fish Gulfport. Gulfport, Mississippi. I'm from Gulfport. That's where I stay at now. And Gulfport, it has a real, really, really good fishery, man. Actually, I just recently heard or saw somebody catch a pompano out there, which blew my mind.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. So when I go out there, I'm usually targeting speckled trout. Most of the time, 9 times out of 10, I'm targeting speckled trout unless it's like a tournament or something like that. Mm-hmm. Or if they're real slow, I'll go and play with the redfish and I'll go play with some flounder and stuff like that. But 9 times out of 10, it is trout, man. I love fishing for speckled trout.
That's how I am. It's like, man, I enter all these, you know, the KSS, the Kayak Saltwater Series. I enter those monthly events. I enter some other CPR stuff. And I do fish redfish tournaments, and in Texas, most of our trails are live weigh-in. You got to like bring them in alive and all that good stuff. But it's like, man, why am I entering all these redfish tournaments? Because all the redfish I catch are normally bycatch when I'm catching trout.
Oh yeah,
you know, because it's like I'd much rather be out there getting that thump on or in big old top water blowups from the trout.
Oh yeah,
and trying to catch that dirty 30. I've been chasing that the whole time, and I've come up a quarter inch short many times.
That I want one so bad, dude.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I want one so bad. And the thing is, people, I know I talk to a lot of people, and a lot of people see me fishing Gulfport a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the main reasons is, man, like I missed some big trout out there, and I know one of them was probably close to 30 inches. Mm-hmm. And for me to feel that, to know that that trout was around there, I know that he got off. I know that they're around there. So I want one from Gulfport. My thing is, I want to, you know, I want my biggest trout to come from Gulfport. You know,
yeah, that'd be say real that cool.
Yeah, I want to know, and I know the thing is, I know that there's just about timing, you know, when they're showing up and you know, your presentation, what you're throwing, tactics, like you said, you know, tides, all that stuff plays a factor. And
big time. And y'all's tide swings, y'all's are pretty much on standard with ours, you know, 1 or 2 foot tide swing.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yep. They usually 1 or 2 foot. Sometimes we'll get, you know, that tide that gets sucked way out.
And yeah.
It's ridiculously low. You know, it's
the north winds come through real hard in the winter and blow out. Then you get a little west in it. It blows our water out real. You get a big marsh dump, you know, and usually like the first part of it's pretty good. And then you got all that low water to deal with. And then sometimes it does, you know, concentrate the fish in some of the deeper parts of the bayous and back lakes and stuff. If they're still trapped back there, which is actually, that's what comes in handy with a kayak. Cause you can actually just get through that skinny water that boats can't get through, to get back to them deeper pockets where them redfish are stacked up in the marsh sometimes.
It's
definitely pretty cool. So what I was going to get to next was redfish or speckled trout, but you pretty much answered that question already. There's nothing like that big old head, gill shaking, that big old yellow mouth coming out of the water.
It is nothing like it. I love it, man. Blow ups, dude. I've had trout over in Gulfport. I've had trout. You know how Spanish jump leap way out there and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god, dude. Some of the funnest time I had is trout fishing, man. It's just, I mean, with them, I'm just pedaling a paddle tail trying to get it in, and you see a trout jump out like a Spanish. You know, it's like, man.
Okay. I got them doing topwaters like that over here this time of year in the spring going into summer transition. Especially they just kind of this last full moon we had, they kind of ended their we're still spawning and everything. So they're pretty aggressive, pretty feeding, you know, they're pretty active spawning. So they're hungry, especially the bigger females.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're, you know, they're doing the work too. They'd be doing cartwheels because they'd be popping up over, flipping over the top water out of the water. There'd be two, I'd catch two. On a super spook, I was catching like 220-inch trout the other day.
I
had 220-inch trout on one top water. They hit it when the other one had it in his mouth. It's like stupid.
I'm going to have to get over there, man.
Stupid sometimes over here, man. So, yeah, I do like redfish for that drag burn, you know, and them runs and all that. And then just the assortment of tackle you can catch them on, spinner baits, chatter baits, frogs in the grass, buzz baits. I mean, I've caught them on everything because I like to test it out.
Oh yeah,
but the thing is, man, what I adjusted this year to trout was throwing some of the bigger, you know, 7 and 8 inch bass swim baits and glide baits, like for the bass side of things. And I actually caught some really good fish on those this year. And then I really didn't get to see the full potential because we had that freeze kind of hurt our fishery and kind of hurt some stuff here further south. You know, got hurt pretty bad.
Yeah, man.
You know, the possibilities with bass lures is crazy because a lot of people don't throw them, so the fish don't see that kind of stuff, and you're kind of have a little more better odds at a bigger fish coming and eating that. And then being in the kayak is another advantage because the stealth and the way you can sneak up on them. You're not out there waiting because a lot of people here like drive their boats, set up on a certain reef and wait, and then you're crunching on that shell. And if you're just slowly drifting in that kayak, and you're a lot more stealthy approach than waiting up on them fish, you know?
Yeah, because
right
there. I mean, there's been times, man. I mean, when you catch, and you know you're stealthy when you catch a trout right there by your kayak. Right beside it.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing. It's nothing like it. I mean, I've seen people fish literally the same spots, you know, like come up and fish the same spots in me and try to fish the same area, man, in boats.
Yeah.
And literally, man, I'm telling you, not get a single bite. And I, you know, I being a fisherman, I want to see if they got kids and stuff like that. I want them to catch fish. So, of course, I'm going to tell them everything I'm doing, what I'm doing, what I'm throwing, how I'm throwing it. Because I want those kids, and I want them to have that same experience that I have.
Yes.
So they'll come back, you know, and do the same thing. Well, and it's just, you can tell them that, and it just won't work, man. It's just that you know, that stealth, I guess that's what it is.
And then understanding the, like you said earlier, about setting up with the water movement, the current, the way the fish are going to be set up. All that comes into play, especially when you're presenting artificial baits at a fish.
Absolutely.
A lot of people like overlook that, and they might not there's a lot more to it than just giving somebody a spot. Like a lot of these YouTube guys are out there spot burning and, oh, they list their spots and they do this and they're giving this Patreon crap and they're like paying for these waypoints where they caught their fish. Well, I'm going to tell you, not everybody can just go out there and catch a fish.
And that's it.
It's going to be different tidal conditions, different water clarity, different temperature, different barometric pressure, different moon phase, different everything. So all that all them factors come down to what you got to be able to do to present that bait to that fish the right way. Cause he might be set up different in the current and it's not going to look natural to him and they're just going to avoid it. So, right. I mean, that's it. I don't know. So Mike, people can try to harp, but I don't care. I'm not a fan of the spot burners on YouTube. And I said that.
And what I do, like when I'm so a tactic, one of the tactics I use to fish for flounder is like, I do a hand thing. So if I'm fishing a rock wall that's in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
So this is my cast, and I look at my hand and say, okay, this is my casting points here, 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 here. Mm-hmm. Now, if nothing is there, those four hits. Now it's something may be there, but that presentation on those four casts or that fan cast didn't work. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to overlap that with casting this way. I'm going to go parallel to it and I'm going to cast this way. And then I'm going to work back just to see if it's a presentation thing with the current or anything like that. And 9 times out of 10, man, I'm telling you, the other day we went out and caught, I must have caught about 15 flounder, man.
Off
that method.
Yes.
And it was just
and for flounder, you really do got to beat up the area because, you know, they're a bottom hugging fish and they're just looking to ambush something that comes over them. So if you don't get it right over their head, kind of in their eyesight, they're not going to see it. Right. So you really got to break that area down. Just like you say, that grid pattern, the casting is definitely going to help with them flounder for sure. Definitely.
100%, man.
Oh, yeah. So, and then what are you fishing a lot? Are you fishing a lot of bayous, a lot of rivers, like little drains and openings? Or is it like backwater stuff? Or is it more like there's really no grass flats over there, right?
Man, rocks. It's more rocks than anything.
Some rocks and stuff.
Yeah, because it's a harbor. So okay. It's mostly out what they call out front. And it's almost all rocks. I mean, there's some flats out there, some sand bottom, but mostly just rocks.
There's a lot of rock structure then.
Of rocks, yeah. And that's another thing. People get a lot, you know, they get frustrated with the rocks out there as far as like trying, you know, getting snagged up and stuff like that on the rocks. And I get it. I mean, the first time I went out there, I lost probably $20-$30 and jig heads and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
But it just took time and you know, you kind of learn, okay, well this is how I gotta work this to keep it from getting, you know, in there and getting broken up and keep getting broken off and stuff like that. Because those trout out there, like you said, man, when they, you know, when it's cold, when it's wintertime, man, those trout get in those rocks and they get in there and hunker down. They trying to stay warm. And if you don't get that stuff right in front of their face, they don't want to work too hard for food. But if it does, you know, if it presents itself to them right, they're gonna get it. They're gonna strike.
Eat it. They sure are. So what's up with the family time? You know, versus fishing. Like I do. I was wanting to get in that too because I always like to talk about that too. With you know, having to balance that between the two, you know, finding time for family and then fishing, you know, like me, it's summer. So now my daughter's out of school, my youngest daughter, and my wife's home because she's a teacher. Well, she's a behavioral analysis deal. But yeah, during the school year, it's like I could fish all I want during the week.
Yeah.
Because my day's off during the week, you know, there's less pressure on the water anyways.
Right.
So the shift work comes in handy to be being a kayak fisherman or just a fisherman in general. And being I have, you know, there's some sponsor obligations and this and that, just like you. I was going to get into that with you. You know, you are part of the Hobie fishing team.
That's what
I wanted to roll into about how you find balance in family and fishing.
Well, my lovely fiance I mean, man, first of all, I couldn't fish as much as I did without her, you know, understanding, like, you know, he's going out and he's going fishing and, you know, trusting me to go out and do all this. And she allows me to take my daughter out on my kayak with me, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So it's like, you know, I know a lot of moms and stuff like that are like, you know, you never take my daughter out there like that, you know. She trusts me enough to know that we're going to be safe out there and, you know, have fun and stuff like that. And then, you know, either after that, after I'm done fishing, it's either only like one day that I'm fishing a week, and then the rest of the time is just theirs, you know. We gonna do pretty much anything she wanna do. We'll, you know, if she wanna lay around the house, we lay around the house, we chill, you know.
Yeah.
But I try to just more give her, you know, give her time. Yep. That way I can have time.
Yeah, because I know, because me, that's like, you know, I like to try to fish during the week, but I said, I gotta give her a schedule of all the tournaments on the weekends.
Right.
You know, because if some of the weekends I'm working and I'll take those days off to fish a tournament, or sometimes I'll be on nights and I'll fish right after I get off work.
Right.
And fish a tournament. So I can fish a tournament that weekend, and it isn't a weekend where I'm off. But like you said, you know, we just gotta, you gotta balance that stuff, man. And you know, with a good, you know, we couldn't fish as much without a good woman by our side.
That's it, man. And then
still having time to spend with the kids and do stuff like that. You know, my daughter's involved in volleyball. She's on her middle school cheer team. So, you know, the evening games and all that, I love that, because I still, you know, I can still fish, and then still got time to fish in the morning and pick her up from school sometimes, or actually sacrifice that morning bite to take her to school, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then go after I drop her off, which is, that's just the balance you got to find. And, you know,
that all comes with it.
You know, like they say, happy wife, happy life.
So you take care
of business and then you can fish.
That's it. You gotta have that balance. You got to have it, because if not, I mean, some people's relationships end, or, you know, some people's families aren't just, you know, they aren't happy, or you know, it ends up being a bad situation when you don't have that balance, you know.
Yeah.
When you don't have that balance, it ended up being real bad, or, you know, a whole bunch of issues. So
that can break down pretty quick if communication and balancing things, you know. But like this, you know, like for me, and I don't know if you're the same, but this isn't a hobby anymore. This is something I make a little money off of running. You know, I'm part of Jackson. I'm their team manager for the South region. I got some tackle companies I represent, and some stuff with the KSS I'll do to the communications for them. You know, and it's just, I make a little money on the side. So it's actually some little gigs, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And that's when it comes down, is being, I got to juggle this too and juggle that. And I mean, it does get overwhelming at times, but you just got to dig deep. You know, I would love to just be able to do something in the kayak or fishing industry full time and get away from that plant life I'm in now, working at a chemical plant. I would just love to do that. That would be great.
That's what I'm working towards, dude. To be honest with you, that's what I want. Like, that's what I want to do. Like, I want to be able to, you know, they say when you wake up in the morning, and if you don't wake up in the morning and smile and jump and be ready to go do your job, you're not happy, you know, you're not happy.
Yep.
And I feel like, you know, kayak fishing, man, I don't consider that a job, you know. And somebody told me that, you know, when you don't look at it as a job and you love doing it and you make money, or you make a profit, or you make a living off doing it, then, you know, that's what it's all about, you know. Yep. And that's where I'm trying to get to, you know, where I can wake up and say, okay, man, I'm going out here to kayak fish to have fun, to you know, to just go out there and do what I love.
Yep.
You know,
and that's it. We're a wild bunch. I mean, the camaraderie is great, and the community, you know. I was talking to somebody earlier, and I said, you know, the whole deal starts with the clubs, like the Facebook groups, like the kayak fishing groups and the clubs. Oh, yeah. And that's the grassroots of the, like, starting to have some little participation stuff in tournaments. But, like, you know, We go hard. We hardcore. Oh, yeah. I'll wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning, load my stuff up, and drive 4 hours to a tournament. Dude. And then fish all day and then drive home.
Last weekend, just last weekend, we woke up at 12:30. We woke up at 12:30 in the morning, got everything. Well, we had stuff loaded up from the day before, got up, left, went to Navarro Beach.
Oh, went out there. Because the pygmy's coming up.
Yeah, so we went out there.
You went and got some pre-fishing.
Yeah.
Hey, that place looks legit. That whole, we going off topic here, but dude, that's next weekend.
It's
right?
Is it next? It's the 19th.
The 19th.
Yeah, Father's Day weekend, yep.
Dang. Yeah. I got a tournament on Rayburn that day. I'd love to. We got some guys from Texas heading over there.
Yeah.
We got a good little contingent from Texas. Group heading over there, so they should be good to go. I would love to. I like to do the offshore stuff too. We got some good stuff over here. Actually, today was a great day. We had a couple people go out and get some nice kings and some snapper.
Heck yeah, man.
Some posts earlier, but dude, that reef off Navarre, that looks legit. Dude. Like some cobia. There's some you can get some dorado move in, some dolphin every now and then, sailfish close. Yeah. Big Wahoo. Tarpon like four times a year. Cause I know them boy Brandon Barton and Ben Parrott and all them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they're Hobie guys too.
Oh Donnie. Oh yeah.
Yep. All them and Matt Van lives over that way. He'll be around. Oh, yeah. That should be good times over there for that pygmy, that tournament.
It's gonna be good.
And that guy that runs that's a hoot. I should have him on this show. I should try to get him on here too and see what's up.
I had to talk to him.
He has
some
crazy graphics and all that stuff. Yeah, my boy Tracy talks to him a little bit. Tracy Deadman, he's on Hobie also. He's from South Padre area over here. He'll be making the trek over there.
Okay,
I'm bummed I can't make it. I'm gonna put that on the list for next year.
Yeah, dude, you should.
Next year, I'm gonna put it on the list.
It is awesome, dude. I'm telling you, man. I had so much fun out there last year. The last 2 years that we fished it, man, it's just been amazing, man. Like the fish. Every time I went out there, I've caught different fish. I've caught, you know, nice fish every time. I mean, I caught a 37-inch red snapper from out there, man.
Oh yeah, giants.
Giants. That's big.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
That's a big mama on a kayak too.
Think about that.
Yes, sir. So as far as, you know, fishing goes, no matter where you're at, offshore, inshore, I like to bring it up and talk about different things guests do as far as organization, and how important is that to you, you know, once on the water, to know where everything is and have everything situated on your kayak? Are you a stickler for having everything in the same spot? Because I know some of my friends are just got stuff strode everywhere.
Dude, that I'll be honest with you, man. That is me. I am that guy. I'll be honest with you. I'm not gonna sugarcoat or nothing like that. I am that guy. Like I'll go fishing and dude, everything will be perfect. I don't know where everything is. And you're like, okay, I'm gonna keep this stuff together when I get out there and everything's gonna be all right. I'm like, get out there, they're like, okay, I'm throwing this. Oh, I need to try this. I wanna try this. I'm throwing this and I'm throwing that. And I was like, okay, well, that ain't working. So I'm taking it off, kind of change over real quick and try to change something else. But work it for a little while and change it something else. And by the time I know it, man, between me snacking and between me freaking changing baits and stuff like that, dude, I've got stuff all over my kayak. And it's just like, man, okay. All right. Well, I'll have to get this together here in a little while shortly. You know,
I'm the same way. I'll have some lures and stuff strode around, but normally I'll have my boxes and all that will be organized I plan to use for the day.
Right.
You know, and then people are always like, man, what you got 5 rods for? So because bass fishing, I'll have 10 sometimes, depending on what I want to, you know, what body of water I'm fishing, what I've found pre-fishing. But I'll have, you know, I'll have a bunch of like 5 different rods, popcord, you know, a chatterbait, topwater.
Oh yeah,
a weedless plastic, a regular open, you know, screw lock jig head plastic, or you know, just like the Ice Strike stuff. I really like their jig heads with the different colored eyes they offer.
Oh yeah,
and then like a rip bait, and then maybe like a wake bait or something, depending on what I'm targeting. And it's like, wait, well, I don't want to have to retie when the fish are doing something different, and I can just reach behind me in my crate and just grab it real quick and get after it.
And I got like that it was like, okay, I want to throw top water, but I need a top rotor. I need a top water rod because I don't want to change over my rod.
Yes.
So I'll go buy one. And yep. I'll have that one. So, okay, well, I want a soft plastic, and I want to throw soft plastic just strictly for soft plastics.
Yep.
And I don't want to change over. And then that's when you get in, like some people say, you know, oh, fishing's expensive. And I never realized yep. it until, mm-hmm. you know, I start getting into, okay, well, the like you said, the organization of things when you know you need this, and it can save you time if you had it already rigged up and you don't have to cut off and do it. You right. know what I'm saying?
And like you said, different rods. You know, I have different. My rods for my plastics are way different, especially for like a 16th and 8th ounce little
right.
weedless hooks that I'm throwing smaller, you know, fluke style baits or little paddle tails, little smaller stuff to downsize. You need something with a little lighter line, little lighter action, you know, so you can feel it, feel that bite too. And then a topwater rod is going to be a little different. And then my topwater rod I use for redfish has a little bit more backbone than the one I use for trout fishing.
Oh yeah.
So it's just different things like that that just come into play too, you know, that you know which rods rip where and rigged up the right way. And, you know, sometimes it gets a pain to remember, oh, what size line I got on there.
Right.
So yeah. some of my lures have a little dial that I can set it with. Some of them do, some of them don't. But it's always like, yeah, I think I got 15-pound braid on there with 15-pound fluoro. And then some of them is like, oh, there's 20 on that one. And then I try to remember. And it's tough. It gets confusing.
It'll get you like, okay, well, I think I got 15 on this one. I think I got 20. And it's okay. Well, I'm going to use this one for, it's like, man, I bought a setup strictly this year for throwing at jacks.
Mm-hmm.
Like just, you know, like jacks, just in case they come in or something like that.
Yeah. Cause they're fun to catch. They're no, I don't like eating them. But.
No, definitely not. No, absolutely.
Shark bait. But yeah, they're fun to catch on when they jack a topwater. Man, it's fun.
It's fun, dude. It is fun. And that just goes, like I said, just setups and stuff. It's another setup to bring. Like you said, you take about 5 rods out when you go.
4 or 5 normally.
4 or 5? Yep. I think I take about 7.
I can take that many at times, for sure. Especially if I have a spoon and something else, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, because that's a deadly bait for redfish on the flats out here.
Dude, I know.
Little bitty gold spoon, man. Just burning it.
Kill them with the gold spoon and I bet y'all kill them out there on the weight baits on the flats too, man.
Oh, yeah. As long as there's not a lot of floating grass. Because if there's a lot of floating grass, it becomes like weird. You can't really set up and fish crosswind. You got to set up and fish into the wind or with the wind. So, because when the wind gets start blowing that floating grass, it kind of forms lines in the waves, and like you can throw in between it where it don't, but if you try to fish across it, it gets all caught up.
It's
weird. Sometimes that grass on the flats floats, you know, from the motion and stuff. So there's some little tricks, but a lot of times in wake baits in the back lakes, that's where it's at, where the grass isn't quite floating, it's still submergent, and they're all in little pockets, and you're burning that wake bait over that. Boom. Oh, they come up just thumping.
Man,
I love throwing a weight bait too. I like burning them. It's fun. fun. So yeah, getting into organization, we're gonna kind of talk a little bit about rods. I normally do something called pick 3. So say we're targeting speckled trout, and you have 3 rods. You're gonna have only 3. What are they gonna be? Spin cast or bait cast? And what kind of setup are you gonna have? And lures tied on those 3 rods. Go.
All right. So I got a Defender with a Daiwa TS, I believe. And I got it paired with, I'll go light with a, I got 12 pound, I use 12 pound mono, and I'm using a high water Wild Thing, mm-hmm. Soft plastic swim bait. And I use that setup a lot at, usually, you know, when the tide is not ripping, because like I said, that's real light line, and
yeah.
I can feel everything, and just it's perfect for that area, because it sinks slow. That mono sinks slow for me, so I don't mm-hmm. have to worry about it sinking too fast.
Yep.
And My other one, I'll use my DOA. I pair it with a Lose. I think it's Lose L. Is it the? I don't know if it's a. Is there? I don't want to get it wrong, man. I'm trying to make sure I get it right.
Oh, it's all good.
It's an L something. I'm not sure, man.
Casting or spin cast?
Casting. All casting rods.
Casting rod. And it's a 7 foot, 7'3", 7'6", 9.
It's 7 foot. I like using like using all 7 foot rods. I really don't like to go under 7 foot just because it's for me, I can cast a lot better.
Yeah.
With my 7 foot rod on the kayak. And there's a I got a Vendetta casting rod paired with a Abel Garcia SX.
Mm-hmm. The Revo SX.
Revo SX. Yeah, when I got I also got 12 pound on that. Well, 14 now, because I use that for like my top waters for casting at trout and stuff like that. And those are my three, like those right there are my three go to baits.
Your big go tos, yep.
Yeah,
like the high water. Swim bait and what DOA?
DOA shrimp, the clear DOA shrimp,
the clear near clear DOA shrimp, and then a top water. What kind of top waters you prefer?
I usually throw like the she dogs, she dogs, and not too many more. I mean, I like the she dogs just because they're so loud, man.
They got high and low pitch. They got a pitch to them,
right?
I like those over here for sometimes in the summer. Man, I'm a stickler for the one knocker, just that deep one rattling there.
Yeah.
I'm a stickler for that. And then sometimes they don't want nothing. They just don't want nothing. They'll just come up and swirl at them. You're like, oh, guess I better throw plastic back in there.
Right.
They get silly sometimes, you know. But the top wall blow ups for trout is hard to beat, you know, hard to beat. And then the wintertime when they hit the corkies and the twitch baits and all that, there's nothing else like that thump when you're just slow twitching and just pausing and then just waiting for it and kind of reel up your slack. And then all of a sudden it's like, bam, they almost ripped the rod out of your hand to do that.
All day. You ever use those Paul Brown Devils? I've just got into like using those recently. You know, kind of trying to figure them out, and man, it's been working kind of good for me, man, over here.
Yeah, the Devils are the ones with the single treble. Then you got the Fat Boy, and then the original Corky, and then you got the Soft Iron and the Soft Iron XL. They've kind of based those baits all off of that original Corky, and then that original Fat Boy. That's what I'm saying. I bend that Fat Boy. I bend the nose down a little more, and I'll fish in the harbor, like the harbor areas, like you're talking about. We have some too that have like. It's like 3, 4, 5 foot shelves, and then it drops off like 17 into the boat channels.
Oh.
And I'll throw those Fat Boys and Devils out there and count them down and just twitch them along the bottom in the winter and just get crushed.
Oh, man.
And around structure, too, you know, you got to worry about loose. But around the rock structure, you know, 5 to 7 foot around reefs and rock structure in the winter, those cool corky Fat Boys, you know, they make some awesome colors. The rod shop here in my town, Waterloo, who – actually is a supporter of the show, and he's my rod sponsor. They have some great custom colors. You know, those things are tough to beat, you know, and you're like, man, when's a trout ever eating things pink? But you'd be surprised and day glow pink baits be getting.
Yes, sir. And that's almost what color the wild thing is for me, man. It's a pink with like a green top. Almost kind of sort of like it's nice, man. It's pretty good. I mean, it's almost like an electric chicken color, but it has pink, you know,
a little pink. Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes they want them bright colors and sometimes they want the natural, you know, sometimes they want something like chicken off the chain or something,
right.
Whatever they call it. There's all kind of colors. Texas Roach, La Cucaracha, Texas Glory. I got a color that I did collaborate with Grande called Cajun Kool-Aid. It's like a lime green, but it's got purple. Lime green and purple. It looks real good, especially in that little, you know, tannic water. you know, just a white with silver flake, like a bone with gold. You know, that's all my go-to colors right there. I think I got about five or six that I just have on rotation and kind of have with me. Something I'll have a light color, you know, super light, you know, and then I'll have a natural color, then I'll have some darker colors for depending on water conditions, what I run into. So, you know, anybody out there new beginning and all that, you know, you just remember, you know, that lighter water, you want something a little lighter, you know, as the water color varies and changes, you want to give them something a little bit darker and kind of in between, you know, you can fit, get away with both or a natural presentation, natural color presentation. You got anything else you want to share with anybody? Tips, beginners, you know, getting out on the water for the first couple of times or something, you know, something to help them out.
Well, I'll tell you, man, don't be afraid to like try stuff, you know, like don't be afraid to like, you know, if you were catching fish on, you know, a bait last week, they may not be biting that bait, you know, they may not be, it may be different. You may have to switch up tactics and you may have to switch up styles. I guess what I'm saying is just don't be afraid to change, you know, to adapt to your situation and surroundings and conditions and all that stuff that you have going on out there. I know some people are just like straight sticking with, you know, what they know and all that other stuff, but sometimes you just gotta, you know, you gotta change it up. And it's tough to do, you know, but sometimes most of the time, you know, just a little change, it works. It works. So for, you know, people to just getting out, you know, don't be discouraged. You know, if you go out 1 week and catch something and then the next week you go out and you don't hammer them like you did last week. It's just different, you know, different stuff going on, different tide changes, different, you know,
all the variables currents that are involved. Exactly right. What you're saying right there. Don't get discouraged. Your time on the water is what's going to reward you with the benefit, you know, and learning the learning process. It takes time, you know, and then listening, soaking in info from people like yourself and figuring it out, you know, and just, you know, you can use YouTube as a learning tool. You can use Google Maps and look at your areas and go back on historical, data photos and look at, say, like when the water was blown out the year before, and you can see the changes in the reefs or the structure, and then you can visualize that and mark it or remember, oh, next time I'm there, I need to look at that area there because there were some submerged rocks right there that at a higher tide will have water over it, and I need to present my bait that way over there. And then, like, you can start using those tools.
All right.
You know, so anything to help somebody, I mean, if they just gain one thing, you know, from an article I write or a post I talk about something, I'm happy. You know, I'm happy with that because I love to be a help to somebody on the water too. Same deal, you know, for sure.
It's word, it's, man. For the people that just, you know, that don't, but, you know, they see that progression. I was once that beginner, you know, like I was once that beginner. So it takes time, you know, it takes time to, you know, get out there and actually learn, you know, what you want to do and how you want to do it.
Yep. Yep. And don't, you know, look up a local guide service or an outfitter that offers kayak tours. If you don't have a kayak, get out there and try it. You know, there's plenty of those out there. And if you have to start out with a, you know, go to Academy or Walmart and buy a small kayak to get started, hey, do you, man. That's how you got to get on the water. More the power to you, you know. That's how you're going to start out. Don't let, you know, all this stuff from Facebook or these groups or that, you know, get to you. Go out there and do it on your own, man. Don't worry about it, you know. But there'll be people out there that will help you. So, yeah,
that's it.
That's all part of it right there. It's growing in that grassroots level. That's where it starts right there. So
yes, sir.
That's cool. Yes, all right, sir. Man. Well, we about to wrap this up, man. See, it's already been almost 50 minutes.
Oh, man.
Getting rolling, talking about fishing. Man. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Do this all day, man.
Oh, I know. I could just, like my wife said, when I started doing this, she tells everybody I could talk the paint off of a wall. So, hey, at the end, we like for our guests to be able to plug, you know, sponsors and give some shout outs at. So, yeah, take the stage, brother.
All right. So, over here in Gulfport, Mississippi, those guys are awesome.
Who was that again?
It's Everything Kayak and Bicycle.
Everything Kayak. Over here. All right. Right on. Okay.
Over here in Gulfport, Mississippi, those guys are awesome. They, you know, if you look into, you know, we're just talking about, if you're looking to get into a kayak and, you know, you have never been in one, then, you know, you can go to Everything Kayak and, you know, they have a pool there that they can put you in a kayak and let you pedal around or let you paddle around, let you get
there, you go,
and see if you like it or not, you know? And, that's really, you know, that's an awesome thing to have. You can, you know how you're going to like the kayak before you get out on the water right there.
Yep.
So, that's a really, really, really awesome store. Also, I want to give a shout out to Hobie for making me a team member. I surely appreciate it so much. I can't wait to show the Hobie team what I can do the rest of this year. What they expect out of me, I'm going to blow that out of the water.
There you go. There you go, my man.
I got plans for some big things coming up, and hopefully it work out for me, and we'll be good with that. I want to give a shout out to High Water also. High Water Fishing Lures, a company out of Louisiana that I'm sponsored by. They make a lot of soft plastics. They make a lot of they make some freshwater baits for bass and stuff like that, like creature baits and stuff like that. Real good company, real durable plastics. It is awesome. I throw them every time I go fishing. And shout out to Burley Pro. They are an accessory company that builds like mounts for like to protect your kayak. So like bumper boards or like
they got one to protect the fins. They got little shields for your fish finders.
All that.
What is it? Martin Giddens. Martin Giddens. Yeah, out of Australia. Crazy.
Oh yeah, crazy man. Awesome guy. Awesome guy, man. Oh dude, it's awesome. But I think let's see. Shout out to it's not a sponsor or anything like that.
Yeah.
But like I said, I couldn't be able to do this without the man above. You know, like I thank him for letting me wake up and be able to move and be able out here and do this fishing stuff, man.
These fish he gave us is water,
right? Everything,
you know,
man.
You gotta give the grace to God, you know, sure.
Yes, sir.
Can't live without that.
That's it. That's it.
Truth right there. Yes, sir. Well, yes, sir. All right, man. Well, we're going to wrap this up, my brother. I appreciate you coming on and chatting with me about fishing, about your area, and letting everybody learn a little bit about yourself there. And, you know, there we have Matt Mitchell, Hobie Fishing Team. Great all-around angler. You know, he did well in our trout tournament we had at the beginning of the year. Little one for the money. I was pretty stoked when I saw he was from Mississippi putting up them trout like that. I was like, look at that.
The big ones didn't move in until the end. Like the day after, I was like, oh my God, I'm catching 25s and I'm catching 24 inches. And I was like, oh, they just moved in, man. I was like, the big ones just settled in. But, you know, next time, man.
And in the freeze.
The
freeze put a hurting on me. It's all good. We're going to have another one. We'll have another one coming up here pretty soon. Hopefully so.
I'm looking forward to it, dude. Forward to it, man.
Sure will. Well, all right, man. Well, we appreciate you coming on. And once again, thanks to all the listeners. And if you want to follow Matt on Instagram, it's right there. It's Matt _ Mitchell and then 4 _. It's right there on the screen. If you're watching the video, it'll be tagged. I'll tag it in the post too. We'll do an Instagram post and all that good stuff. Check it out right down there. Y'all give him a follow. Thanks again for all the sponsors of the show, Palafin Network. Thanks for bringing us on board, Waypoint TV. And we'll catch y'all on the flip. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Later.
Later.